Today is the feast of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new dough, as you really are without leaven. For Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep festival, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 to 7. At that time, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might go and anoint Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had just risen. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll the stone back from the entrance of the tomb for us?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back, for it was very large. But on entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right side, clothed in a white robe, and they were amazed. He said to them, "Do not be terrified. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. There you shall see him, as he told you." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This is the feast of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from the dead. All of us English-speaking Catholics call this Easter. The reason for this is that we have told you this before. It is difficult not to repeat some things. The reason is that the first British Catholics wanted to make their pagan goddess into a Catholic. And so her name was Esther, or Easter. She was the goddess of spring. And so they named this greatest of all the feasts, the most one of the biggest days ever, most important events in the history of the world, they named it after her, goddess of spring. This is what Catholics have always done. One of the best examples is the pagan temple, the Pantheon, which is a magnificent temple, and the Catholic Church took this temple and consecrated it and made it into something that, even though it had been so offensive to God for so many years, now it was pleasing to him, and it would be until it ends, whenever that day may be, maybe at the end of time. So you know that liturgy, the Catholic liturgy, is something which takes place outside of time, almost outside of space. Because the liturgy reproduces something that is from the past, and it brings it to the present. And so it makes past, present, and future all together, all at once. So it takes the holy sacrifice of Christ himself, the Son of God. It takes his death on the cross and it brings it down on our altar. And so that by itself is past, present, and eternal or future. Because the death of Christ, which took place 2,000 years ago, is brought down onto the altar and it is made present here and now for us. And it is future because it is eternal, the death of Christ. It is what our Lord and Savior does in heaven for all eternity. He offers his death and especially his love to his eternal Father for all eternity, past, present, and future. And this, because it is past and future, it includes the resurrection, because Christ rose from the dead many years ago, and he is alive. When we make his death present on the altar, Christ is not dead, but he is alive. It makes his death present, but he is alive, just as he is in heaven. In the holy sacrifice of the Mass, his resurrection is made present. We don't normally emphasize his resurrection at the Mass because the most important part of the Mass is his passion and his death, his offering of himself to his Father, which is most clearly visible in his death, because he died for love. And so, because we are joined to the death of Christ on the cross, because we are members of his body, and so we are joined to his death. But we are also joined to him in his resurrection. And so on this day, we share that resurrection with him. So today, we can say we are in heaven because we are part of the body of Christ. And this is why this day is so contemplative, because we share in the thoughts of Christ himself. And he, as you know, has the beatific vision. And so he shares with us a little bit of that vision in our prayer. This is called the day, above all days, the day of contemplative prayer. And this is the reason, because we share in the resurrection with Christ in heaven. Jesus is in prayer eternally. And so we not only share in his prayer, but we share in his glory. and his power and his love and his and everything about our Lord and Savior. And this is why so many of the saints not only were given a share in the sufferings and the death of Christ, but they were given a share in his resurrection, in his glory, in his luminous appearance. They are the saints, some of them. The best example, of course, is Moses. The Israelites could not look upon his face. It shined so brightly. This was, of course, because of the resurrection. It was because of this day that Moses looked like God after he had seen God. It was because of the resurrection of Christ that that occurred. And so this is why so many of the saints shared, and it was visible. We could see in the saints this glory. And so many of the saints would not only suffer like Christ, but they would be, in a sense, glorified like him, even here on earth. And so they would levitate. St. Teresa of Avila was always levitating. St. Joseph Cupertino would fly everywhere. This is because of today. And they not only shared in this, but also in his prayer. So many of them were lost, and all of the saints were, great deal of the time, lost in prayer because of today. On this day, the world is renewed. It's made like brand new. The whole world. This happened in a similar way, only the opposite, on the day that Adam and Eve committed their sin. The whole world was cursed. We can say, in a real way, it belonged, because of that, to Satan. And so now, because of the resurrection, because Christ redeemed the world, he bought us back. And so now the whole world is, the curse is lifted, and now the whole world is new. It belongs to God. And because of that, grace is poured out. Here's what St. Paul says. He is the head of his body, the church. He who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the first place. For it has pleased God the Father that in him all his fullness should dwell, and that through him he should reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in the heavens, making peace through the blood of his cross. And this is all because of the resurrection. All mankind is blessed. Everyone is blessed, even his enemies, because of his resurrection. And his grace is poured out because of the body of Christ risen, which is before the throne of God. This body that we belong to. And through his body, the whole earth is constantly blessed. And we see this often, not only in the saints, but we see it in his enemies, because he's always forgiving them. We see it in great conversions, how much his love is poured out to everyone. His superabundant graces. This is the new, the real new world order. It's God's order, which affects even his enemies. And in the end, he will return, and that will presumably be on this day, Easter, the end of the world, and the last judgment, we believe, will take place on Easter Sunday, the last day of the world, before Christ comes. All men will be judged, and so he will when he returns, and we are all given the final share in his resurrection that takes place on this day. We will finally feel the great power of his resurrection, because everyone will be clothed again. Everyone will rise from the dead. And this is especially true of those who will be saved. We will feel the power of this day, of this event. Finally, and he will rid the world, the universe, of all his enemies. He will, by the breath of his mouth, it says in sacred scripture, he will blow them away, and we will see them no more. But even now, the enemies of God are given a share in this day because of the superabundance of his love and his grace. We look forward to this day at the end of the world. This is called, we are called Eighth Day Christians. And the reason for this is because it has always been said that Christ, our Savior, rose from the dead on the eighth day, not the first day of the week, but the eighth day, because he rested on the seventh day, just as God, the Blessed Trinity, had our Creator, had rested on the seventh day. So Christ, the Son of God, rested on the seventh day, and then he rose from the dead, it is said, on the eighth day, which is eternity. Because he rose on Sunday morning to begin his eternal reward. And so eternity is called the eighth day. And we are eighth day Christians. This is the last day, eternity. Today is the beginning of not only Christ's eternal reward, but ours. And so we feel the effects of the resurrection, especially today. So much grace is given to us on Easter Sunday because of the glory of the Son of God in heaven. So we are given so many graces on this day. This is why this is such an important day. For all Catholics, that this be celebrated correctly, and it has been like this from day one. And so all of the early popes were so solicitous to make sure that this day that Christ rose from the dead was always the same, exactly the same day. Always the same day as the Passover. And it had to be calculated very carefully. So for so many years, the popes would correct and have their priests and their bishops and their scientists correct the day that Easter was to be celebrated. And this was not only because of this, because of these men and their fervor, but it was because of God. God wanted this day to be important because not only did Christ rise from the dead on this day, the eighth day, but this was the day that he would return. And we always want to be prepared as much as we can for his return. This is the day of our eternity. And so we give you some examples. In the year 444, Pascasinus, bishop of Lilibea in Sicily, wrote to St. Leo the Great that under Pope Zosimus, this would have been about the year 418, the real day of Easter was miraculously revealed. And so what had been happening in this church in Sicily? It was in the Maltinas, this city in Sicily. The baptismal font on Easter would always, when they would come to the font, it would always miraculously fill with water. Every year. And on this year, they went to the font. There was no water. No baptismal water. But on April 22nd, which was the correct day for Easter, they found it filled with water. And this was not the only miraculous event like this, because in the city of Marsilianum, which is straight south, about 75 miles straight south of Bari in Italy, St. Nicholas of Bari, they had a fountain in their city that on Easter would suddenly fill up with water. And this would happen on every Easter. And St. Gregory of Tours tells of a similar story, not only in Italy, but in Spain, in Andalusia, where we get the horses. In this place, the fountain was very special. It had been made this font, let us say, baptismal font, had been made in the form of a cross. And on Easter was the only day they would have water in it, and it would be filled. And then immediately after the baptisms, the water would disappear. It would be completely dry. Also on this day is very special, which we want to mention to you, because in the year 459 in Regia, in northern Africa, The Catholics in this city were attending the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, on Easter Sunday. This would on April 5th that year. And the Arians came and put to death all, these are called Easter martyrs. These are the Easter martyrs. Put to death everyone in the church on Easter Sunday except the children. So this is a special day because of all of the Easter martyrs that we have in our history. And also, let me tell you of something else. Saint Pachomius, whose feast is in April, was one of the first founders of monastic life. He lived from the beginning of the end of the 4th century he lived in the 4th century, and he founded this monastery called Tabena. This was about 300 miles south of Cairo in Egypt. And he required his monks to return on Easter Sunday because his monks would spread out and they were basically hermits. And they would all return to the monastery on Easter Sunday. And so many times the monks that would come back to Tabena for Easter Sunday would be over 50,000 monks. This was in the 4th century. 50,000. Now we tell you especially on this day about all of these special events on Easter Sunday, and especially about these martyrs in Regia, because of the prayer of Christ, which is our prayer on this day, because of the grace that he pours out on us and his enemies. Loving his enemies. This is a grace that is given to us that is one of the most clear signs of the presence of God. The grace of loving our enemies. No one can do this without the grace of God to love his enemies. You cannot, if you can forgive your enemy and love him, you cannot deny that it is the grace of God. He said it from the cross. And he does it in heaven. He said, Father, when he was on the cross, forgive them. He asked that his enemies that had crucified him be forgiven. In the year 1498, King Louis XII became King of France. He had been the Duke of Orléans. And when he became king, he had many enemies, and they had opposed him for a long time. And when he became king, he immediately had a list made of all his enemies. And he had a red cross placed next to some of his enemies on this list. And the word got out immediately, because many of these people on his list were in his court, and they began to disappear. They were leaving town as fast as they could. And he heard about this, and he sent his soldiers out to bring them back. And now they were really afraid. He had his enemies brought to them, to him. He said, "Where are you going?" And they told him, and he said, "How wrong you are." He said, "Christ forgave his enemies from the cross. What kind of a Christian would I be if I didn't forgive mine? The Red Cross was the ones I was going to favor, all of these special enemies." And that was because of this day, because of the love Christ has for all men, because of his resurrection. On this day, because it is what St. John of the Cross called more lovely than the dawn. That is his description of contemplative prayer, more lovely than the dawn. Because of this share that we are given in the vision of Christ in heaven, the gift that is given to us on this day, more than any other day of the year, is the gift of understanding. It is a gift, it corresponds to the beatitude, "Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God." You see that? It corresponds with the vision of Christ. The gift of understanding corresponds with the vision of Christ, and the reason is because, as you may know, we have said it, faith, the virtue of faith, is not sufficient for us. It is necessary that we have in us the gifts operating, and especially the gift of understanding, because the gift of understanding makes our faith alive, so that not only do we believe, that's what faith gives us, the eyes of faith, the eyes to see the truths of the faith. So not only do we see them, but they become crystal clear, because this gift comes from Christ, Holy Ghost, of course, but it comes from the eyes of Christ himself. And so we see much more than the faith. We see it as if it is alive. And so we desire, on this day especially, "Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God." We desire to see God. As Christ sees him. And this gift of understanding makes us desire it so that it hurts. We feel the pain of the desire to see God. And this is our prayer for all of you, all of those especially who cannot be with us on this day. We are sorry that you are not here. We are sorry because God would have wanted you here, even though we believe that this was for his greater glory. He certainly desired to have you receive him in the Holy Eucharist on this day. And so we are sorry because God would have wanted you here. And we are sorry for you that you cannot be here. And we are sorry because we have missed you. And you are in our prayers today especially, that you be given a superabundance of grace which comes from the risen Christ who is before the throne of God. We pray that he pours out his grace especially to you on this day. This comes, our wish for your happy Easter comes from not only the fathers and the brothers, but also from the sisters. Happy Easter, and may God bless you.